Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
17th, we'll talk about, you know, what our next 10 days are going to be looking like, or 12 days. But I'm looking to turning up the urgency a little more. You know, these last 7 to 10 days, there's, you know, you go really hard at the beginning, kind of level out a little bit, and then you got to crank it back up. We'll have a little chat again, and we'll turn up the urgency a little bit, and hopefully it'll take us right into Houston.
That's Pedro Grifol, manager of the Chicago White Sox. Some of their players are busy playing for their respective home countries, or affiliated countries. It's not necessarily home countries per the rules of the WBC, but everybody else is getting ready to play some Major League Baseball when the time comes. Lamond Pope covers them for the Chicago Tribune. He's on Twitter at Lamond Pope. He is on the Score Hotline right now. That's brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Lamond.
Good morning / afternoon.
Good morning / afternoon. Well, it's good morning to you because it's 9 o'clock there. What's it been like to cover a relatively, outside of the Clevenger story, a relatively boring camp at Camelback Ranch?
It's been different. I'm so accustomed to, coming on in and having some sort of news or drama every single day for the last couple of seasons. and so it's been an adjustment from the reporter's standpoint. But no, it has been a pretty quiet camp, other than the Clevenger story. We're getting to know Grifol, getting to know his coaching staff, and it's also been a little bit of an odd one from the standpoint of, like Dan was saying, so many of the guys being away at the WBC, and so you're getting a look at some of the guys that, you know, most of them probably won't be here in a couple of weeks, but you're still, you know, they're still making their case to possibly make some noise and possibly earn one of those final roster spots.
What names haven't we talked about enough when it comes to some of those possibilities?
Well, I mean, Hanser, Alberto has had a great camp, but again, it's like, well, where do you fit him in? I mean, you know, you're kind of caught in a trap. You know, he's performed really well all camp long. He's been a really good clubhouse guy as well, but it's a situation of, all right, you have the four spots. You know, Sebby's going to be the backup catcher. Gavin Sheets has performed really well, and he's going to, you know, you need that left-handed pop. Larry Garcia with 2 years left on his contract, he's going to probably be here as well. Even though it was really interesting the other day to hear Pedro say that he's, you know, competing for a spot. So then that leaves you with one spot. Hanser's performed really well. You know, Billy Hamilton brings, the speed and the defensive ability that can really save a team a run or two, or create a run or two in those late inning situations. And so, Romy Gonzalez, they've played him all around the field. Here's someone who when camp began, we thought would possibly be the starting second baseman before they were able to bring Elvis back. And so, so it's a situation with Hanser, you know, and how much stock do you put into these spring numbers as well, right? So although Hanser has performed really well and he's been a great clubhouse guy, do you have room to put him on this roster?
Lamond, what have the White Sox been doing with Oscar Colas? I've seen him play a little bit of center field too.
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday he got the opportunity to play out in center field against Cleveland. He made a nice, nice catch. And, you know, it's one of those situations where they want to be able to have him, if they have to give Luis a day off, they might be able to move Oscar over to center field. You know, he played center field mostly last year. And so, and he's, you know, he said, I remember when we talked to him earlier in camp, you know, about moving to right field. He said, well, you know, right field was basically my position beforehand. Center field, you know, was last year was really my first time kind of playing center field a whole lot. And so he played 70 games at the three minor league levels in center last season. And so they want to be in a position. And again, this is kind of goes back to with the roster configuration. If you know that you might be able to give Luis a spell, and move Oscar over to center field, then maybe you can, when you're making those final one or two spots that you're kind of dealing with, well, all right, we know that we can maybe move Oscar over to center, have Gavin play right or have Eloy play right for that particular day, and then maybe that might be able to open up and have someone else be available for that final roster spot. And so it's all part of the process of trying to see, hey, what all can this kid do? You know, he's earning that roster spot, I think. You know, he's done everything from an offensive standpoint, and he still does have a lot of work to do. You know, defensively, you know, he's growing into learning how to play on a day to day basis, play right field, and his base running. You know, Pedro's talked about secondary leads, things of that nature, but he's really embraced all of the lessons that the coaching staff is giving him. And Pedro said, you know, like in regards to like the secondary leads, he's like, you know, one day we showed him the video. Here's what you're doing. Here's what things that you need to work on. And then like later on in the week, he was doing those things. And so, you know, he's a fast learner, and everything has been very positive from the Oscar Colas growth perspective this spring.
Where are we with Jake Berger right now?
Oh, I mean, he's another person who's had a really good spring as far as, you know, offensively is concerned. But, you know, the issue with Jake has always been, where can you play him defensively? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, this team already has too many DHs / first basemen. You know, they've worked him over at first base an awful lot this spring, more so than even over at third base. And so, but I mean, the bat has been impressive. I mean, and Pedro said the other day, I mean, you know, you notice it, that pop, particularly against left-handed pitching. I mean, it's a weapon, but where can you play him? And so that's the conundrum when it comes to Jake Berger. I mean, you know, the stick is there. It's major league ready. It's performed at the major league level, right? We saw him last year, but it's like, where can you play him defensively? And that's the issue as far as like trying to fit him in and get him into roster spot. But yeah, he's another guy that, I mean, if he's performed well enough to earn to make the roster, but you have to really wonder, where can you play him defensively, and I don't know what that answer would be.
What's camp with Pedro Grifol like?
A lot of talk about, as the clip at the beginning displayed, a lot of talk about urgency, a lot of talk about fundamentals, a lot of talk about wanting to see, you know, stressing those little things that we saw were very much lacking last season. You know, the ability to, whether it's hitting the cutoff man, whether it's, you know, taking the extra 90 feet. It's trying to implant that mindset into the guys during camp to where it becomes second nature once the regular season gets going. Have there been mistakes during camp from the guys? Yeah. I mean, you know, but Pedro said at times that, you know, that he wants to see those mistakes. And so they can kind of go over those the next morning in their drills or in conversations. And so the guys can kind of learn from those situations. But it really has been sort of like a back to basics type of camp from that standpoint of stressing all those little things that hopefully, you know, for the White Sox can add up to a little cleaner baseball in 2023.
Is Ronaldo Lopez still on pace for a high leverage back end of the bullpen role at a minimum and apparently interim closer role at best?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those situations where Pedro isn't going to be, you know, apparently isn't going to be naming a definite closer, have that ninth inning. You know, this is our guy for that, for a ninth inning situation until Liam is able to come on back. But Ronaldo is one of those guys. It's front and center to be one of those guys in that situation. I mean, you know, Pedro was raving about him just the other day, just, you know, not only what he's seen from him on the mound, but just sort of his makeup as well. And he believes that he's one of those high leverage guys, but it's like, you have Kendall, who has that experience being that ninth inning guy when he was with Seattle, and I think he had about six saves last year for the Sox. You know, Joe Kelly's done it in a little bit of situations as well. And Ronaldo is definitely going to be one of those guys that's going to be called on in those high leverage situations. And I think he's going to get many opportunities in the ninth inning to close out games.
It's been so interesting. Like, cause it, to me, it's interesting because it's boring. That's why I asked you that question earlier, Lamont, like how we're looking at the White Sox, and it's like they've had kind of a whole makeover because of the different way that Pedro Grifol kind of goes about his business. Does there seem to be, and if the answer is you don't know, I'm good with that. Does there seem to be better connectivity between the front office and the field manager?
I mean, I think they're all on the same page. I think that they're, you know, from you know, having the same message throughout for multiple situations and multiple, you know, whether it be an injury, whether it be even just sort of the message with the whole Mike Clevenger thing. You know, it's like, you know, waiting for MLB to make a decision. MLB made a decision. Now moving forward. It just seems like everyone's sort of on that same page. Everyone's, you know, there's a lot of communication. That was one other thing that Pedro has been stressing, is communication, you know, not only with the players and coaching staff, but also with the front office as well. And so it appears to be that's all been, you know, everyone's so far has been on that same page as far as kind of creating the atmosphere and creating what they want to try to, you know, the brand of baseball that they want to try to bring to the White Sox here this season.
Lamont Pope, thanks so much for the perspective and the info. Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
That is Lamont Pope, Chicago Tribune reporter covering the White Sox. Yeah, this is.
It's good, though, Dan.
There's not a whole lot. What is?
It's good.
The White Sox thing?
It's good.
Rank and play the music.
No, it's good that it's boring.
Yes. Boring's okay.
You got a bunch of guys that are at the WBC, and they seem to be doing okay. You know, you've got Eloy playing right field in there, trying to show you that he can play right field. Their rotation seems to be set. They have options at the back end of their bullpen. None of them are as good as Liam Hendricks, obviously. But you've got options.
And so much of this stuff isn't really predictive. That's the thing, and I always try to remind people that we like to think that spring training performance predicts it doesn't, for better or for worse. You could have a horrible spring and have a terrific season. You could tear the cover off the ball in spring and strike everybody out and be brutal once the lights go off.
I think the bench conversation was really fascinating because there's multiple ways that the White Sox can go about this, and I'm thinking through it in my head.
I think Billy's on the team.
See, now that creates a wrinkle it all. What happens to Jake Berger? And I ask about Jake Berger because he dominates left-handed pitching. And if you're going to have Oscar Colas and Gavin Sheets on the roster, Sheets is your bench bat who hits left-handed, obviously. You have a catcher in Sebi. What do you do with Leary Garcia? You're not going to eat the $11 million by
DFAing
him. Right. That's the question. Because
they're
have
the White Sox.
Other
That's
players
why.
Who do what Leary does and probably better or at the same value.
Look. We all knew that when the deal was announced for Leury, was it 3 years, $20 million or whatever it was, that it was a bad deal. Everyone knew that was a bad deal. Partially because you can find guys, like, for example, I would rather have Josh Harrison playing the role of Leury Garcia. And you could have done that like year to year and it wouldn't have cost you $20 million to do it. We pick on Leury a lot, and I do think that he has value as a team's 26th man. The problem is the financial commitment you made to the 26th man on your roster. That's just bad baseball. And we take it out on Leury, and we shouldn't. We should take it out on Rick. It's not Leury's. Like, someone offered me 3 years, $20 million. You damn right I'm signing that as fast as I can.
Is this year 11 of Leury?
Longest tenured White Sox.
Is this year 11?
Yeah, I think so.
It's either 10 or 11.
Can't turn your back on Holly.
Oh, God.
Player to be named later, by the way.
That's
Texas, Leury, right?
The trade
was
Alex Rios, I believe.
That was the Alex Rios deal. Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy to think about.
The reason I say Billy's on the team is because, you know, he plays a solid center field for you, and there's going to be an emphasis on stealing bases this year, and he's going to be green light go.
I know, but he's more of an ad before the playoffs hood ornament.
Season 11, by the way.
Season 11. Okay. But it sounds like that's the kind of guy, like, you want to put him on there just to get in a playoff series and steal that critical base for you late in the game.
Yeah, but now you're talking about the game changing a little bit, where that guy becomes more valuable to you in a regular season than maybe he would have been in seasons previous to this.
That makes sense. I know, but it's still for a guy who doesn't really hit. It's you're gonna if it's Burger, he's forced off, you know.
I mean, you gotta trade Burger, right? Isn't that what you gotta do? Don't you have to look and say, look at this guy's value? It's the same as Burger is the same as letting Abreu go. And I don't mean level of talent. I mean, we have a bunch of these. We have a whole bunch of these, and we can't get this guy enough major league at-bats. And when we do get a major league at-bats, it comes at a cost, because then we have to find a place to play him, and we don't have any place to play him. But we know that he's got pop in his bat. I think he had the second most home runs at home for the White Sox last year.
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
Eight? I think it was eight for him at home last year. So he's got major league power. You just have to find a partner. You got to find someone that can actually give him the at-bats, because you can't. So it doesn't make sense to, like, the idea of him playing second base or playing third. Like, he doesn't have a position. So find a team that needs a bat and see if you can work something out.
We have Joe Ostrowski set to join us, the BetQL Daily host. There are basketballs bouncing on hardwood across the country right now. There are bets to be made. I don't even know. We don't need Joe. We got you. You're the guy making all the money for everybody.
I'm doing okay on FanDuel. I do want to ask him. There is I've never seen this before. Maybe it's because I have never looked in the betting market of the women's tournament. I imagine that. But in the olden times, that UConn maybe had some of this. The number that I've seen on South Carolina to win the women's tournament is absurd. And I want to ask Joe about that. So we'll do all of that stuff next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I have a daily sports betting show.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him. I got to tell you that much.
It's that time of year. No matter your level of interest or exposure to sports wagering, you're in it this time of year, whether you want to be or not. And why wouldn't you want to be with all of these opportunities and everything that you got going on? Maybe the single two best sports betting days of the year for some people, some of the dilettantes out there who just love it. And this segment with Joe Ostrowski is brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Please bet responsibly. Joe is the host of BetQL Daily, and he is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. It's been a while. I think over the last hour now, I was late to this, but I may have uncovered the best sports betting strategy out there. Now, okay. The most valuable thing in sports betting is not a great follow, someone where you tail all of their bets. It's finding just a horrible bettor, a great fade. And they don't know that they are that. But we may have found that with this tournament, and I need this person to make picks all the time and make sure that they are everywhere. Now, Joe Biden took Arizona to win the title. He took, which nobody had. He took Virginia to go to the Elite Eight. It was mostly all chalk. And when I say all chalk, when I looked at his Sweet 16, I looked at each region. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
No!
So there were a couple of, quote, upsets in the first round. Double-digit seeds. You got to pick some double-digit seeds to move on, right? Utah State was one of them. Oh. Utah State was actually a favorite. They were double-digit seed. He had moving on. He also had Charleston against San Diego State. That was a loser. And last night he had Boise against Northwestern.
So fade the president.
Fade Biden. I don't know who filled this out for him, but I need them everywhere. I need them in the NFL studios before the games, giving out their best bets so we can just all as a country go against it. You know Sunday Night Football when everybody gets on the same side?
Yes.
You bet the other side. This is what I need for the NFL season. If it's an assistant, an intern, I don't care. We know it's not Biden. Like,
it's probably Ron Klain on the way out would be my guess.
Obama definitely did his bracket, right?
Yes.
But Biden's not doing this bracket.
And he had a Duke basketball player in his orbit.
Reggie Love.
Yeah.
That was his body man.
He had Reggie Love right there with him so he could talk about all of this stuff. I don't know who Biden has there with him, but that seems...
find out.
That's really bad. But hey, I agree. Like, just fade the president of the United States seems like a good betting strategy. Joe, look, you know that I'm fairly new to this sports betting landscape. Mm-hmm. I was flipping around and I was just kind of looking. I'm like, let me go look at the women's tournament because I'm interested. Like, Caitlin Clark from Iowa is compelling. Indiana's season that they've had has been amazing. LSU has a horrible person coaching their team, but that that horrible person is a great coach. Uh-huh. And obviously, like, South Carolina is a favorite. I didn't realize how much of a favorite they are. Joe, I went for odds on winning the tournament. I just wanted to see, like, what could I get some value? I didn't realize that South Carolina was such a favorite. They were minus 190 to win the tournament. The field was plus 140.
In this tournament, in college basketball.
In the women's tournament, I was sitting there going, these numbers don't make sense. Like, they're that much better. And I get that they're undefeated, but they're that much better than everyone, that they are minus 190 to win the tournament.
And that's to start the tournament. So what is it going to be as they advance every round? It's only going in one direction, you would think. So I'm curious what it will be if they're in the championship game. How high does that number get? I can't think of something like that. So then I thought about the 90s Bulls, and it's fewer teams, so it's not, you know, quite comparable. But, I mean, we're talking about that level of price, because I was looking back on some of their title runs. When we look at the odds before the playoffs, the second championship before the playoffs, the Bulls were at the same price, minus 200.
Wow.
For the second title. Some of the other ones, they were plus money. And for the fourth title before the playoffs, this is the highest number by far. Fourth championship, it was minus 400 for the Bulls to win the title.
What?
Yes. Unbelievable. For that finals, they were minus 950. So I wonder if we're going to get a price like that once South Carolina keeps advancing.
It'll be interesting, because if it's South Carolina LSU,
yeah,
I think that's the only team that could possibly beat them. But anyone else, like, they're going to get their doors blown off.
Well, the amazing part to me, not only is the price for South Carolina is the gap. So naturally, you need to make some of those other numbers enticing to bettors. Like, can we draw a bet somewhere else besides South Carolina? So the second favorite, it goes down to 12-1 after them.
Wow.
To start the tournament. So, I mean, if you're going to do anything there and you don't want to lay that type of juice, you just pick on the other side of the bracket and pray something crazy happens.
Yep.
Joe, we did the story a couple of days ago regarding what this the Bears' exuberance is doing to some of their numbers, and it's really crazy. And I just think the psychological phenomenon of making some kind of investment decision based on excitement about your team is really a strange thing, or supporting your team. Yeah, go Bears. Here's my money. It's just weird to me, but it really does seem to happen with the Bears. Was this expected? Do the books sort of set their numbers anticipating this kind of thing?
Yeah, they started to, but then they had to react even more. They had to react big time. Now, we all knew the Bears were going to make a lot of moves, right? We knew that they were going to move that number one selection, and then we find out the haul they get, and all of a sudden they have a number one receiver. And we knew about the $100 million, so they were going to make additions there. So books were starting to trickle those down, but it's been big movement ever since. The Bears, if we look a few weeks ago, the Super Bowl odds you could find as high as 80-1. Right now at BetMGM, they're 40-1. For the NFC, it's half of that. It's 20-1. And the case is, obviously, Rodgers is leaving the division. Which teams scare you in the NFC? After Jalen Hurts, who's the best quarterback? Is it going to be Dak left standing? It's a lot of bad. And you're obviously hoping that Justin Fields takes that next step. Now, what's surprising to me is bettors that I respect are looking for the best Bears numbers, or they were at least, let's say, over the last week. A lot of those are gone. It's just too much for me. The number one MVP liability of any player in the NFL to the books right now is Justin Fields. They're not only betting the Bears to win the division, to win the conference, the Super Bowl, but they're betting on Justin Fields to be the MVP and Matt Eberflus to be the coach of the year because he is the second favorite. For him, I mean, that's how you win that award. You make a it is insane. You know what else is insane, Dan? The Bears had just had the worst record in football. They're trying to put together some sort of a defense, and they're the second favorite to win the division. It's Detroit at plus 135, and the Bears and Vikings are tied at plus 300. Now, the Vikings regression is going to be a big storyline. They had a negative point differential and a 13-4 record, so nobody thinks they're going to be able to repeat that. And people love to bet on Dan Campbell. But Green Bay is a long shot in the division right now. I find that pretty interesting because maybe Jordan Love is good. Maybe he's good enough to win this division.
There's a lot of uncertainty, I would imagine, in the market for the NFL draft and who's going to go where because there's a lot of volatility that we're seeing right now, not just in the rumor mill, but the Jalen Carter pro day and everything that's happening with him. Where's the value at the moment?
Well, when the Bears had the pick, it was Bryce Young as the favorite, and that was consistent. And now we've had a change. Once Carolina took on that number one selection, it's been all C.J. Stroud. There was an immediate move to where it was a pick'em between Stroud and Young. And now it's Stroud as a minus 250 favorite.
And didn't Schefter say Bryce Young yesterday and everybody looked askance at him?
Well, so in the betting world, the big thing that's been floating around ever since the trade was an interview that Panthers quarterbacks coach Josh McCown made. I believe it was Josh Norris. He did like a half-hour podcast or a sit-down interview, and he was just glowing about Stroud again and again. So the thinking is, well, I don't know that he has the power, but the coaching staff in Carolina is in love with Stroud, and that's why they ended up making this sort of a move, in that even though they're trying to float out there, they don't really know what they're going to do with the pick. They know exactly what they're going to do with the pick. They moved up to take C.J. Stroud. That's the thinking in the betting world. And Young is actually the third favorite. Now Richardson is the second favorite to be the first pick.
Wow.
I mean, he's a box full of traits, so I can see that, but he's the pick that's going to get you fired. We talked about how things have moved for the Bears. Joe, what's the Jets number looking like these days?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, are Jets fans doing the same thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, think of it from their perspective, too. I would be worried about the Bills in my division, but that's just me.
Yeah.
They have the offensive rookie of the year. They have the defensive rookie of the year. So they are convinced that they are a quarterback away, and that is it. I don't know when they're going to get this quarterback. I wouldn't be in a rush if I'm Green Bay, but they're all the way down to 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. That is six on the odds board. They're the sixth favorite to win. Before this Rodgers stuff, and I thought the Rodgers stuff was baked in when the number was 25-1, but that's where we were, I would say, over the last month. We saw the big move the other day with the announcement, non-announcement, whatever that was.
So has there been, because I mean, look, realistically, he's not far removed from being an MVP. What's the MVP number on Rodgers?
Let me pull that up.
Because
I wonder, you think his first year there is...
I mean, if you're already saying Super Bowl...
If you're 39 years old, you don't have to assimilate.
I'm just saying, like, if the market has moved so much that you're talking about Super Bowl and the people around the Jets think that he's the missing piece for them being a championship team, that says MVP to me. So I'm wondering what type of numbers you can get on Aaron Rodgers to be MVP.
He is in the spot above Justin Fields at 18. So there could be a little value. 18-1, same odds as Dak Prescott. At the top, it's Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Holmes, pretty much tied at 7-1 at most places. But same stratosphere, Rodgers Fields.
How are you doing in this tournament so far?
Doing well so far. I'm worried about a survivor pool that I'm running, but yesterday was pretty good. And again, we have to bring it up, guys. It's 3 years into this. you still can't bet on Illinois Northwestern on your apps. So probably it would have been bad for Illinois people, but would have been good for Northwestern.
And well, the funny thing was is that if we would have been able to bet, I would have won both of those
Me
bets.
Me too. Me too.
Because it's exactly the Illinois game went exactly the way that I thought. Dan and I had talked about it. We were talking about how Eric Musselman is just a better coach than Brad Underwood. And even if you think the rosters are awash, you had the better coach available there. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with Northwestern, where I thought their style would just choke the life out of Boise State, and that's exactly what they did.
Better coach, more talent. I thought, and obviously you talk about the big upsets on day one, but the biggest storyline is what's going on with Houston right now. That's it, because they're the one in that Midwest. If they get picked off, which they could by
Auburn.
Bruce Pearl
yeah.
on Saturday, that's going to be a lot of fun. But Sasser played, you know, he still hobbled. Now you have the turnaround.
Not just still hobbled, maybe yeah. re-injured.
Yes, and Shed. And Shed, too. Sampson's talking about that. He's like, hey, and now we got to deal with a road game. He is not happy about this situation. They're favored by 5.5.
So oh, that's right. That game's in Birmingham, isn't
yep,
it?
Yep. It's a road game. That certainly helped them yesterday against Iowa. So the Auburn game is interesting. These Saturday matchups. Duke is only favored by 2.5 against Tennessee, against Rick Barnes.
I never trust Rick Barnes.
Exactly.
Ever.
You should go the other way.
I'm probably going that way because I actually think Duke's got a chance.
Mm-hmm. I do too. Northwestern is a 7.5 to 8 point underdog for tomorrow. But as far as today, there's some upsets I think that could be brewing. It's interesting. People talk about the seeds. Oh, my God, a 12 beat a 5. A 12 today in Drake. This morning, it was a 1.5 point spread against Miami.
Mm.
So I always trust the betting market much more than the committee and the seeds. Drake could be a good look. It wouldn't surprise me if Kent State surprises mm-hmm. Indiana as a 4.5.
That's another team that plays really hard. I watched them a couple times this year.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The MAC has very good history. They have great guard play, obviously something that we're always looking for this time of the year. So that could be a possible upset later.
Joe Ostrowski, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
We have High Noon coming up next. The bird is the word.
Burp, burp, bird. Bird is the word. Burp, 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 burp. Should get Peter Griffin doing that. Everybody knows about the bird. I have something for you. No, I have
another bird.
A fun throwback to a really good moment between player and reporter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
It's high noon on a Friday. And it looks like the weather might be starting to improve a little bit. Although it's
a little windy today.
I heard. It woke me up,
yeah.
Actually.
There's a bit of rain, and I was like, why am I hearing taps on the windows? I'm like, are there birds? And it was rain being whipped around by the wind last night. And I guess tomorrow's supposed to be bad, and then things start moving in a better direction.
Started out by discussing some observations from the NCAA tournament. I think Brad Underwood really had a rough day. Another rough day at the office. A game right in front of him, and there were several simple
tactical adjustments he could have made that he chose not to for whatever reason. And he lost the game for exactly the reason we thought it was likely that Illinois would lose an otherwise nicely matched up game. Northwestern won. That's cool. Kelvin Sampson deciding to play his injured player and then blaming that decision on the player and the trainer instead of taking responsibility for it, I thought was garbage. And what else did we discuss? We had Lamont Pope on to talk White Sox. We gave the latest on Lonzo Ball and his unfortunate injury situation. Suffice it to say, this is a Hail Mary operation, a salvage operation, and there's no record of somebody coming back to play NBA basketball after a cartilage transplant.
We still have Bears and Cubs to discuss on the show, so make sure that you stick around. It's time. I ran across this video, and every time that I see it pop up, whether it's on Twitter or on Instagram, it makes me smile because you can have a fun relationship with media members if you want to. This is Kevin Garnett and Craig Sager.
Hey, look here. I know we're going off the air for a little bit, but I need 10 to 15 seconds to say to you, okay, look. I've never in my life tried to really go at you in your suits and stuff. Tonight, I am stressing to you. You take this outfit home and you burn it. We don't want to see this. I know you don't double back with outfits. I've never seen you in an outfit twice, but you take this right here. I don't care if it's Versace, name brand.
It costs Saeed.
Saeed, I don't care. You take this and you burn it.
It's not any part I can keep?
No, nothing. So when you get done with this, you should be butt-ass naked. This should be burnt. Okay? It's good to see you, like always. In the shoes, too. Just burn them, okay? Just burn it. Don't ask no questions. Just burn the red socks, which the people can't see at home. Take all this, handkerchief, lime thong, all that. Burn it, okay?
By yourself?
Burn it. Gasoline, kerosene, either one.
Lime thong.
Butt-ass naked. And Kevin Garnett, by the way, he is a good comic actor.
Yes.
He's funny.
He'll go in your political ads, too, if you want.
Yes, he will. He'll do that for you. Mm-hmm. Even though he doesn't.
Mayor?
Even though he doesn't live here, he'll do that. And the shows that he does with Paul Pierce, I think it's him and Rachel and Paul Pierce. They do hysterical stuff. It's a Showtime show, I believe. But that's just fun. And if you ever met Sager, like I used to talk to him when I'd see him at Bulls games, he really loved his suits.
Oh, yeah.
And no. He would talk to you about him like,
nice
hey,
guy.
if you ever need a suit, I'm like, Craig, I am not in the $2,000 a suit. I am not in the imported from Japan suits that you are. I'm not at that level, homie. Like, I can't make that happen. But he'd be like, no, I got a guy. I'm like, I know that you have a guy.
Right. You probably have more than you probably own your own silkworms.
Right.
Mean, yeah.
I can't afford your guy.
It wasn't just the suit. It was the pocket squares and the socks and everything he had going on. I mean, there was a time.
He was also really good at his job.
Yeah, I go back to when basketball coaches had a bit of a fashion arms race. And now they've totally let that go. That is over. But there was a time when I was being on an elevator with Rick Pitino, and it was all I could do to like not touch his lapel. It just is the quality of fabric.
A lot of times, though, if you ask those guys about that,
oh, they want to talk about.
They
it.
They would
yeah.
like to talk. They appreciate that you recognize that they are well dressed.
Pat Riley and I mean. Chuck Daly.
Oh, Chuck Daly was always G'd up, and he always had the Rolex going.
Multiple nice watches. Patek Philippe's. He always had like a $25,000 watch to match whatever he had going on.
I mean, honestly, for a 7-foot guy, Phil used to dress nice.
The human coat hanger?
I'm sure that it's difficult.
Phil didn't care as much as those other guys
did. I know, but he still looked nice. Like he still looked good. But Craig Sager, man, he'd roll in and you'd be like, man, here comes the money. Because that's money that's being spent right there.
Our community is counting on you. This is Kevin Garnett.
I'm not a big gull guy when it comes to birding. I don't know much about them. I don't appreciate them.
What about the Gullah Geechees?
That's the Calabash in South Carolina.
I'm sure that you've had some experiences.
I have had in the low country there. I have had Gullah Geechee cuisine.
Absolutely.
A lot of fried, that's where we have fried oysters and some of this stuff. But this gull is known as a Ross's gull, and it is in Chicago, and it's apparently a very big deal. The last time this very rare visitor from the high Arctic came into Chicago was 1978. It is 2,000 miles from home, and there are people going crazy in the Chicago birding community. Apparently, 200 people last Saturday at Steelworkers Park were there, and it is indeed a Ross's gull. And the curator of birds at the Field Museum says it is absolutely happening. He says most of the time they're only above the Arctic Circle. Occasionally they wander down to the lower 48, but they don't stay very long. So the idea that this bird allowed itself to be seen by so many people was really fun. It's bigger than a crow. It has a small black beak and pink across the breast and head during breeding season, and it's usually found in Siberia, northern Canada, and the icy Arctic Ocean. But for every few years, for reasons that are not clearly understood, one of these will venture south to the U.S., and they can often be very brief. And when it stops for a visit, the last time it happened in Cook County, then when it was more than just a fleeting sighting, was 1978. A few years earlier, one had appeared in Boston, drawing crowds of up to 3,000 people. So I would say enjoy. I'm still trying to identify a diving duck that I saw yesterday and cannot. I was walking by the lake, and it wasn't a bufflehead. It wasn't a merganser. I went through all of my apps and everything, and I cannot figure out what it was.
And even though you spend a lot of time talking about this and other things, do you think that you get enough credit for being an outdoorsman? Because that's pretty much what you are. Between the fishing and the hiking and the bird watching, that's a lot of elements of being an outdoorsman.
On my terms, though, I don't like camping. An outdoorsman will go camp and, you know, skin an elk that he killed and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not a rugged outdoorsman.
You're not Dale.
No, I'm much more in the classic idea of Thoreau and the Transcendentalists, which is not necessarily, people read about Walden Pond, and it wasn't about going away from civilization. It was about discovering those places where within civilization you can find peaceful nature. That was the essence of Thoreau and Emerson, some of the Transcendentalists, is that the two can exist side by side. I'm much more about that.
And it's amazing because this is a city that allows for
that. Yes, that's one of the reasons why Chicago's great.
Yep. We're still a prairie for the most. The city is a prairie for the most part. It just happens to have big buildings.
That is High Noon, and that will lead us up to something that you probably might have missed if you were listed, depending on the timing with which you listen. So we're going to bring back some really good stuff from our discussion with Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Jed Hoyer, who gave us some insight into what his team is doing, where they're going, and what he's thinking about adapting to how baseball's changing. All of that is coming your way next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.